Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the 17th parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Yud Zayin Mishnachas, and then we're going to start the 18th parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Yud Ches Mishnah Aleph. On a midrabbanon level, on a rabbinic level, a person is not allowed to replace the cover of a hole in the ground, whether it be a pit or a well, because by doing so, he appears to be making a permanent addition, a permanent change to the ground, which would be the malacha on a d'araisa level of bona. Similarly, you're not allowed to remove such a cover because that would be similar to the malacha of soser, of demolishing, of destroying a permanent structure, which also would be usher on a d'araisa level under a Torah, on a Torah level. Now, as the Mishnah is going to teach us, if the cover has a handle, however, replacing or removing it is allowed because the handle shows that the cover is not intended to be part of the ground permanently, but it's just a clay, it's just a utensil that covers a hole in the ground. Says the Mishnah, Kol kisui hakelim sheyesh lahem beis achiza nitalim b'shabbos. That all covers of utensils, of vessels that are attached to the ground, may be moved on Shabbos if they have handles. Meaning to say, if the cover has a handle, then again, it's clearly meant to be removed and replaced. Therefore, using the cover does not resemble the malacha of bona or soser, of building or destroying. But if the cover does not have a handle, one may not use it, just like we may not use such a cover to close or open a hole in the actual ground. However, says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Bamed Devar Mamur, to clarify this situation, really to disagree with the previous Tana, in what case was this distinction made between a cover with a handle and a cover without a handle? Bikisoy Karka, says the Mishnah. It was stated regarding a case where we're dealing with covers of holes in the ground, where using a cover that doesn't have a handle does resemble building. Avol bikisoy kelim. However, with regards to the covers of kelim that are attached to the ground, bein kach ubein kach nitalim b'shabbos. In either case, whether they have handles or not, they may in fact be moved on Shabbos. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, he holds that a vessel attached to the ground is not considered like a hole in the ground, but it's like metalton, it's like regular movable objects, and certainly you're allowed to move a regular container on Shabbos, right? And therefore, according to him, covering it is the same as covering a movable vessel, which is certainly permitted, even if the cover does not have handles. So that's the machlokas between the first Tana of our Mishnah and the second Tana of our Mishnah, and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yossi rather. But we hold like the Chachamim, the first opinion, namely, that to any covers of vessels that are attached to the ground may be moved on Shabbos only if they have handles. Continuing now with Perek Yud Ches Mishnah Aleph, as we begin to discuss the question of Tircha on Shabbos, that in a Midrabano level, the Chachamim established that a person is not allowed to exert himself, to excessively exert himself on Shabbos, to do something that's very strenuous. You're not really supposed to exercise in a serious way on Shabbos, and move things that you can't move couches on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. On a Midrabano level, you should be involved in things related to Shabbos itself, not exerting yourself in an excessive type of a way. Now, the first Mishnah is going to discuss cases where the Chachamim did permit excessive exertion for the sake of a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, Mifanin afilu arba v'chamesh kupos shel tevan v'shel tvua. You're allowed to move away and clear away even four or five large boxes of shor grain, despite the effort involved, despite the excessive exertion that a person is going to have to exhibit. Why could you do this? Mipnei ha'orchim mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. You're allowed to do it, number one, if you need to make room for guests. Guests are going to be joining you that you weren't expecting them, and they joined you. Certainly for that situation, you're allowed or even encouraged to move these boxes of the grain. Or to make room for students and to prevent them from being absent at the Beis Medrash, that since hosting guests and studying Torah are mitzvos, the Chachamim permitted excessive exertion in these cases. However, says the Mishnah of Alo Es Ha'otzer, however, one may not empty the storehouse, meaning you can't expose the earthenware or the earthen floor, because in that situation we're concerned that a person might come to smooth out the bumps and the holes in the ground, which is a form of bona, which is a form of building. And you can say, make sure that you don't, you can't, you shouldn't be emptying the storehouse, but certainly when there's a situation of a mitzvah, you certainly have the ability and the right, and really you're encouraged to remove to clear away the boxes in order to allow yourself to perform that mitzvah. Now, although the Chachamim lifted this prohibition of excessive exertion for a mitzvah, they did not lift the Isser Midrabanan of Muktzah, meaning to say, if something's Muktzah, you can't move something that is Muktzah in order to do a mitzvah. However, later on, the Mishnah is going to list a number of items that may not be cleared away because they are Muktzah based on this. However, before doing so, we're going to list items that are not Muktzah and may therefore be cleared away for the sake of a mitzvah, even if excessive work or exertion is required. It says the Mishnah, Mefan and Truma Tahora, you're allowed to clear away Truma that is Tahor, which is not Muktzah, because it can be eaten by a Kohen. Again, all of these things are things that can be eaten, because again, if the things that can be eaten, they're not Muktzah. If it's something that can't be eaten by anyone, then there's no purpose for it on Shabbos, then it would be Muktzah, and therefore you wouldn't be able to move it. Continuing in the Mishnah, Udemai, and you're allowed to move Demai, which again is something we're not sure was Meister separated from it or not. But at the end of the day, as we learned earlier, poor people are allowed to eat demai, and therefore, if it's fit for poor people, it's not considered to be muktzah. Umaisa rishon shenitla trumas, umaisa rishon, which again is what we separate for the levi, but the trumas meiser, which is what the levi then separates for the kohen, was separated. Again, anyone then can eat this. It was meiser rishon that was given to the levi, and the truma gedola was separated, so anyone could eat it, and therefore it's not muktzah and can be moved if you need to move it for a mitzvah. Umaisa sheni vehekdesh sheniftu, or meiser sheni, which again is what we separate in. From our produce to bring to Yerushalayim to eat in Yerushalayim, or a hekdesh is what was the holy items that we designate and consecrate for the Beis HaMikdash. But in both cases, what happened was you instead of bringing it straight to Yerushalayim, you redeemed it where you were and bring the money to Yerushalayim. So the food that you redeemed it with, that you redeemed it for, that's no longer holy. Certainly, that's fit for anyone to eat, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ha-Turmos Ha-Yavesh V'Pnei Shumaychel Aniyim, and similarly, this dried lupine, which is fit for the poor people. They're so bitter that they are not usually eaten. However, they're not muktzah because poor people could eat them, because if you're desperate for food, you'll be able to eat this dried lupine as well. And therefore, they're not muktzah. You could move them for a mitzvah on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, we're going to list items that may not be cleared away on Shabbos, even for a mitzvah, because they are, in fact, muktzah. As we'll see, a lot of the opposites of what we just read of the lowest of tevel. However, you're not allowed to clear away tevel, which is muktzah. It means that you didn't separate chumar or meiser. It can't be eaten, and if it can't be eaten, then it's muktzah. There's no purpose for it on Shabbos. V'lo meiser rishon shelo nidla chumas, or meiser rishon whose chumas meiser has not yet been separated, which also may not be eaten by anyone, therefore it's muktzah. V'lo meiser sheni v'hekdesh shelo niftu, or meiser sheni, which when you're outside of Yerushalayim, or this holy produce, this holy consecrated Beis HaMikdash owned produce that have not been redeemed, because Ma'aser Sheni is prohibited outside Yerushalayim, and consecrated items are prohibited everywhere. You can't eat them anywhere. And if they're prohibited, then they are considered to be muktzah, and you can't eat them at all. V'lo'as haluf, and you can't move luf, this like raw type of legume, which is considered to be inedible. If it's inedible, it can't be eaten. It's muktzah, you can't move it for a mitzvah. Flo hachardel or mustard seeds, which are also inedible. Right? All of these items may not be cleared away on Shabbos, even for a mitzvah, because they are unfit for consumption, and therefore they are muktzah. So while the Chachamim were willing to move away this Isser Midrash Rabbanon of Tircha Yisayir, of exerting yourself excessively on Shabbos, they were not willing to remove the Isser Midrash Rabbanon of Muktzah on Shabbos for a mitzvah as well. Now the next time is going to just disagree when it comes to luf. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel matir beluf mibnei Michael Orvin. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Oh, you're allowed to clear away raw luf on Shabbos because it is food that the ravens would eat, and therefore, according to him, it is not considered to be muktzah." That the Bar Tanura points out, although raw luf is not eaten by most animals, it is fed to ravens, and therefore it is not muktzah, because wealthy people, for example, raise ravens as a sign of their holy, of their high level, of their prestige. Quick review: we began with Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Ches, which discussed the prohibition of removing a cover of a hole in the ground, and we said that all covers of vessels that are attached to the ground may be moved on Shabbos if they have handles. And again, we said that when it has a handle, it demonstrates clearly that it's being put there in a temporary way, and doesn't resemble building, which would be a more permanent. Rabbi Yossi disagreed with that, but again, that is the opinion that we hold like the Chachamim in this regard. And then Perek Yud Ches Mishnah Aleph began discussing when you're allowed to move things for a mitzvah, even though normally you can't exert yourself too much and move four or five, kupos, boxes of shor grain. We said that when it comes to doing it so for guests or to allow people to sit in the base medrash to learn. So in those cases, you're certainly allowed to move these boxes of the shor of the grain. We said you shouldn't move it from the storehouse, because the storehouse, you're going to then expose the floor, which has holes, and people are going to fill the holes, which would be usher to do on Shabbos. And then we said that while the rabbis did allow you to exert yourself and to move things and to carry things in a significant way for a mitzvah, and which was they got rid of that derabbanan, they did not get rid of the din midirabbanan of muktzah in order for a person to do a mitzvah. So you can't move anything that's muktzah in order to do a mitzvah. And the Mishnah just gives examples of things, number one, that are not mokta, things that can be eaten, whether it's regular truma, whether it's demai, whether it's maaser rishon, shenitla chumazo, whether it's maaser sheni or hektish that were redeemed, whether it's this dried lupin, which is fit for the poor. All of these things are not considered to be mokta, and therefore they would be able to be moved for a mitzvah. However, the Mishnah then went on to say things that are mokta, such as tavel, which can't be eaten by anyone, a maaser rishon, where the chuma's maaser was not separated, again, which cannot be eaten by anyone, or maaser sheni and hektesh that were not redeemed, or a loaf, which is also this like inedible legume, or the chardel, these mustard seeds, all of these things are not edible to be eaten by anyone, and therefore they're considered to be mukta, and therefore they may not be moved in order to do a mitzvah, because again, while you're allowed to exert yourself excessively for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to move anything that's mukta for a mitzvah. Have a great day.